The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. This is John Crossman, and excited to have you a part of our program today. I want to open up with a quick story. Years back, I was having a really successful time in my career, kind of the height of my career. I had gotten to the FSU College Business Hall of Fame, and oddly enough, the same year, I got named an honorary alum for UF, which you think how crazy that is, and was making money, and my kids were young and doing great. And so if you looked at me, it's like, this guy checks all the boxes. What people didn't know was inside, I was starting to have this experience, and I didn't know at the time, of depression and anxiety. It was really hard on me, and I was trying to figure out, how do I unpack this? How do I deal with it? I just didn't know. During that same season, the church my wife and I were going to had a thing called family camp, and you would go to this camp, you know, with your family, and it was as equally fun and terrible as you think that might sound, all kinds of things. And one of the things they did is they divided the cabins between women and the men, and so because we have two daughters, I was in a cabin, you know, by myself. First day we got there, we had dinner. It was actually surprising good food, and then they had an entertainment, and there was this guy on stage. He was so funny. This guy was so funny. I was really amazed by him. And then the second day, I'm in the cabin with a buddy of mine, really successful former military guy, and then this other guy, and I'd never met this other guy before, and he seemed kind of sad. He had kind of an aura of kind of sadness, and I started talking to him and learning about himself, and then I found out this kind of sad guy was the same guy that was the entertainer the night before. It's like I didn't even recognize him. So that kind of blew me away. This guy was so interesting. But then what really blew me away is he started having a conversation with a military guy, and it was this in-depth conversation involving Christianity, involving mental health, and all of these crazy topics I never really heard about. And it was like he was speaking to my soul. And that started me on a whole journey of learning a different part of my faith, and really in the context of learning about mental health. And that guy is our guest today. That was John Martinez, who I met many years ago, and all during these years has been a significant influence on my business life and wisdom for me as a father and as a husband. And he is our guest today. So welcome, John Martinez.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So tell me, John, you know, when you think back, I tell that story. I don't know if, do you remember that?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yes, very well. And you said that I seem kind of sad, and I seem kind of sad for a good reason. Two or three years before that, I had just left a treatment center for about 6 weeks and moved to Orlando with my three kids and like four bags and no money, and had moved in with my parents, like really to do a hard start over with my life. And it was some of the best times and worst times, but there was a lot to be sad about. Like no one dreams of the day they're turning 39 and moving them back in with their parents, with their kids. So yeah, there was a reason that I seemed really sad that day. And at the same time, I did have this story to tell of having gone through these really hard things and being a different person now, that learned how to feel feelings and tell the truth about those feelings, which is what you walked into, a conversation where another guy who'd been through some similar things and I were kind of telling war stories and talking about how we'd recovered from some really difficult things.
That, you know, it's funny when I hear that, even when I reflect on it, it blows my mind, because in my worldview, you know, I was a guy that was married, had gone to college, you know, going to Bible study, tithing, you know, voting, you know, all the things you do and was successful. And yet I was unhappy. And then you're telling me this guy who was recently divorced, who had no money and had gotten out of a treatment center and single dad, all this kind of stuff. And then, but you were giving me wisdom.
Yeah. And it's kind of wisdom that I didn't even know that I needed. So I grew up in a very religious world, and I actually worked for the church for 10 years. And I kind of did all the things that I thought I was supposed to do to have a successful, happy, healthy life. And then through some things that happened to me and some of my own poor decisions, I got to the point where I was depressed. I was considering suicide, and had to go to a treatment center for 6 weeks and basically I had to kind of relearn how to do life in a healthy way. The old ways that I had used to do life had got me to that point of depression and needing to go to treatment. And in that facility, I learned how to feel feelings and tell the truth. And it sounds so funny. I tell people when I work with them, they ask, what do you do? I was like, basically, you feel your feelings and tell the truth. And that sounds so simple and like not a big deal. But most adults really struggle with knowing how they feel, how to share that. And so I had to learn how to do that because I was facing disaster had I not learned those skills. And I had to recreate, kind of start over in life. And it was that skill set that's helped me be successful as a single dad and successful in the things I've been able to do. And I tell people all the time, I'm not that smart. I just learned from some really smart guys how to do life differently. I just pass on what was given to me.
So let's back up because, I mean, your dad was a pastor. So your preacher's kid.
He was in ministry. Yeah,
he was in ministry. Yeah. And, you know, and that, my dad was a pastor. So you grew up in that world and you worked in Christian ministry on staff.
Oh, yeah.
You were so religious, John, you worked at Chick-fil-A at one point. That just really shows.
In my life, I've worked at three different Chick-fil-A's.
Yeah, that shows your commitment to the faith. Now, when you're saying that things got so bad that you go to a treatment center, they got so bad that, you know, you have a separation from your wife who you did not reconcile with. You did get divorced and everything. And I'm not trying to get overly intimate, but like, how would somebody in their own Christian walk say, gosh, give me an example. How bad was it? What does that mean so bad?
Yeah. So I've actually been
that you would know you need to go to a treatment center.
And just to clarify, I've actually been married twice. Like the level of failure I've had is pretty significant. I got married and the first person I married, had significant alcohol issues and I had no skill set to know how to handle that. I started doing some recovery and got enough relief to kind of figure out that I should probably leave that relationship. It wasn't going to get better, but I did it in a really unhealthy way. I got into the next relationship way before I was in a healthy place to get into that relationship. And it actually put my kids in a very difficult position. The person I was with was not healthy for my children at all. And when I left that relationship, I actually had the police meet me at the house when I delivered the news that I was leaving with my kids and moving with my parents in Florida. And so you can imagine like how crazy is it? Cause I was concerned that the person I was married to at the time would harm herself or harm someone else because that was some of the things I'd seen. And so I was very scared for my children's safety, very scared for my own safety. And it was that level where I had to have the police present to have that conversation.
So you're in this situation that you're checking all the boxes as a Christian, and yet it's life and death. And and you could tell within you there was this missing skill set. It's not like you went to treatment because you were like, man, I'm an alcoholic or I'm a drug addict. You went to treatment because you really saw this as a life and death situation. And I guess also you didn't see the church as having the skill set to help you. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I just mean that in culturally.
When people ask me why I went to treatment, I say my life had become that unmanageable.
Wow.
And like walking out the front door and never coming back started to sound better and better, or driving into a tree. Like I was getting that desperate. And I actually went to treatment to save my marriage. And while I was at treatment, realized for me to be the man that I wanted to be, that God wanted me to be, I couldn't stay in this marriage.
Wow.
And that's how it is. And then I called my mom. I was like, hey, come meet me and we're going to drive back to Florida I'm going to start over with the kids.
You know, when I've led some Bible studies, I've said to men, if you're the kind of guy that every time you see your wife, it's like the pitter patter of being in love and a teenager. I'm like, God bless you. I know you. I don't know you, but God bless you. If you've ever sat in your driveway and thought, I might just drive away and never come back, you're my guy. Right. And so I say that to say, even though I've had, you know, some levels of success, people might say, I have looked into that abyss. And so in that moment, you and I connected because we both had a moment of looking into a dark place.
Yes.
John, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to go to the next level with you, which is what were the skill sets you learned to be able to deal with all those things and kind of get your life back together and how others can learn those things too.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
Welcome back to the Crossman Conversation. We're talking to John Martinez. And, you know, John, I was thinking about you the other day because I don't know if you remember this story, but I was actually talking to your kids and I was telling your children that, you know, I do business with a guy that's a billionaire. I have a friend of mine that's, you know, president of a university, and I go to both those guys for advice. But if I had one guy to go to advice for as a business person, as a husband, as a father, it's you. And I told your three kids that, and they looked at me and went, why? You know, and so I explained to them the difference between having intelligence and wisdom. And there's lots of people who have degrees and they do great things. Wisdom is something different, though. It comes from life experience. And I think sometimes in a Christian culture or in what we call American culture, we tend to respect these people that have what seems like a perfect life. But it's funny, when you study the Bible, that's not who God uses. It's really people who've been broken and had big time problems. But again, life teaches them wisdom. And so you told us that, you know, twice divorced, raised in a Christian environment, and some of that Christianity really worked for you. Some of that Christian culture didn't work for you.
Yeah.
You go to treatment, you come back and you start putting your life back together again. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So it's interesting. When you're talking about people who've lived through it, it just took me back to where I was with my kids in the hotel room right after we left treatment. And I'd just gotten them from Memphis and we were waiting to take a flight back to Florida. And I had to sit there in a room with my kids and basically tell them I'm sorry. Mm. Like, and how sad I felt and how hurt I felt. And we shared those tears together of someone who's like in humility and a lot of brokenness, like, man, I really mess it up. And I'm acknowledging like the deep levels to which it's harmed you and hurt you. And gosh, I never want to go through any of that again, any of it. But having had that experience of having to tell the truth about and apologize and share the feelings that went with all of it with them in a very human and real way, which I learned to do while I was in treatment. And I was able to connect with them at a heart level, which unfortunately a lot of men can go their whole lives kind of living relatively, you know, none of the mess that I found, but never have that heart connection with their own kids or with their wife or other men. And, you know, I always say that I was fortunate or blessed enough, that God blessed me enough to give me an unhealthy relationship enough that I had to go get some significant help. If it had been 25% less bad, I just would have stayed in it. And I'd have just had this terrible life and I'd have been a terrible dad and a terrible husband and a terrible marriage probably for the rest of my life, which is tragic. But because it got so bad that I was like, man, I'm going to like drive into a tree if I have to keep living this life. That's what prompted me to go get the help that I needed to become a completely different father, friend, man, and leader. And so, and unfortunately that's where the wisdom came from, like all the mistakes I made. And then getting to a healthy enough place to start putting it back together. Now, and I always say too, like when you walk out of treatment, it's like getting open heart surgery. Like in some ways you feel worse coming out. There's sure. A ton of work, a ton of rehab that has to be done. And that's also where some of the wisdom came from, that I spent years in counseling, still am in counseling, still in recovery groups. And so again, the stuff I have to give anybody is stuff that people have given me to help me figure out how to do life in a different way.
So you and I had been friends for a while and I had been through my own level of recovery I'd gone a lot of counseling and it really helped me. Mm-hmm. And then you said to me one day, you're like, hey, John, there's this Bible study and it's like the hardest Bible study you're ever going to do. And me being like the super competitive guy, I'm like, oh, well, I got to do that Bible study. And when we got into that Bible study, which was Voice of the Heart, and you said some things to me, and I kid you not, I'm embarrassed to say this now, but when you said them, I thought they were crazy and ridiculous. Like, and here's one of the things. When our Bible study was a men's group, we'd always sit around a group of tables, mm-hmm. right? And you were like, John, take the tables away. Like, just sit in chairs. And I thought that was nuts. But it's part of it. It's like removing the shield, right? So that we're just looking at each other. And then you also talked about giving guys a hug. And I remember thinking like, I ain't hugging nobody, but don't try to hug me. I'm not hugging anybody.
Yeah.
And so I had to break that down. But the reoccurring theme was feel your feelings and speak your truth.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, this story that we were doing the study guide and it was on sadness. And one of the assignments was write down the top 10 saddest things that ever happened to you. And would you believe I looked at that list and stared at it. I couldn't write any because I was like, what have I been sad about? And I think I was so wrapped up in the world of saying I'm blessed and God is good. And those are true statements. Mm-hmm. I had just pushed that underneath, right?
Yeah.
And I went and saw a counselor. I'm like, I don't think I know what sadness is. But you know, when you read the book of Psalms and David, like, dude, he goes way into sadness, right? You know, Christ himself wept, right? And so it was funny. It's not that I was fully receiving, you know, understanding my faith. I was actually pushing down part of my faith. And so when you would say, feel your feelings and speak your truth, it's like, hey, John, it's okay to say, I'm really sad, or I'm really angry, or I'm really lonely. And those were all skills that I had to really learn to acquire. So tell me this, you know, now you're a third grade teacher and, yep. and a Title I school. You also teach the Eco Club, which I always thought was about economics. Apparently it's not about that. But tell me, do you use these skills as a teacher and doing things with the Eco Club?
Yeah. So as a teacher, and, you know, first of all, let me just say, we live in a tragic world, right? To think that we can live life and live it fully and not acknowledge the sadness and heartache, it means we're not going to be relying on each other and in deep enough relationships like God intended, or even reliant enough on God. Like if we pretend like everything's okay all the time, we don't need anybody, that's going to set us up for failure. With the students in third grade, yeah, all the time I'm having them tell me when they walk in, they're crying or their head's down. I feel blank because it's that simple. And I work with men. It's the same thing. It's just that the third graders are way better at it. The third graders can tell me why they're sad or hurt or mad. When I work with men, it's a lot more work because they're so used to just pushing the feelings down and kind of pretending or acting as if everything's better than it really is.
So let me jump in and say this. Yeah. Why do you think it's so hard for the church today, a lot of churches, maybe in some pastors, why is it so hard for them to talk about mental health? Why do you think that's so challenging?
I think as far as pastors go, they feel like they have to live up to a certain level. They have to present a certain way. And like their whole job, their whole life, their whole livelihood depends on being seen as a spiritual leader. And historically, in most places, I would say that pastors haven't felt the freedom to struggle, to be human. They've got to be above human. And so they're not willing to tell the truth from the pulpit or with other people like, I'm sad, I'm hurt, I'm lonely, because they're supposed to be some like above everybody else spiritual at some level. And that's one thing. And another thing too, and this is just for all people. Sometimes people will try to get help from a counselor or go to a 12-step program and they have a bad first experience. Like, oh, I tried that. And it's crazy because like, if you had a bad experience with a mechanic, which I think we all have, you'd be like, hey, I need to go find a better mechanic. You'd ask all your friends. You look on social media. Where can I get my brakes fixed? You don't give up on that. But people are so willing to give up on their mental health. I had a bad experience. It didn't work for me. And I just wish they would care more about themselves and their car.
Gotcha. John, as we start to wrap up, and it's been so great. And thank you, Pamela.
Yeah.
You know, our listeners may hear this and they may think, man, you know, I'm having some issues with anxiety. Right. Or yeah. I'm having issues with depression. Can you just share quickly what are actionable items you think they should be thinking about?
Sure. There's kind of three things. Step zero would be just make sure you're physically well. Get a blood test. Get your physical every year if you're having mental health issues. But find a friend that you can tell your feelings to that's safe, that'll give you honest feedback. Find a mentor, a counselor, a pastor. And then thirdly, find a group. Whether that's a recovery group, or there's a lot of recovery groups at churches, or a 12-step group. If you do one of those, it's great. If you do all three of them, it's like you're multiplying your effort and you're on a great path to finding some better mental health.
Gotcha. And you know, John, you taught me many things. One of them is like, we focus too much on trying to fix things instead of just maybe just acknowledging them and letting them heal.
Yeah.
It's more about healing than fixing.
Yes.
Well, thanks, buddy. Thanks so much for being on here. I really appreciate your friendship.
Thanks for
having me. Yeah, your wisdom and all that you bring. And with that, John Martinez, thank you for being a guest of the Crossman Conversation, hosted by me, John Crossman. And my final thoughts would be is like, folks, get some help. If you have an issue, lean and get some help. And as always, support your local HBCU. Thanks and have a great day.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.